perhaps just go page by page. I will move the first page and see if there are any problems with that.
Are there objections to page one?
For the record, I would like to object to the Eskimo Walrus Commission cut the see-through, pass-through grant funding.
Okay, so do you want to take that off? Or object to it?
Object to it.
Okay, do you want to hold it open for further discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular commission was established when Jack Fuller was in the legislature.
72.
And before he left, he told me that this commission was no longer needed. And I'd like somebody, if we're going to try to retain it, to tell us why it's needed.
Okay. Is there someone here from the Department of Fish and Game? Yes, Ron.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, my name is Ron Somerville, Deputy Commissioner with Department of Fish and Game. Which commission are we talking about?
The Eskimo Walrus Commission. you would remember when former Representative Jack Fuller was here, and before he left, he told me this commission was no longer needed. So I wondered if you think it's still needed, why?
I think that the, Mr. Chairman, the Eskimo Walrus Commission, like the Whaling Commission, is still a commission that has established between the federal government and the various native communities some working relationship on regulations, of which the state of Alaska has virtually no input into those regulations other than advisory. So the commission still is in effect, both the Whaling Commission and the Walrus Commission. All we've done here is identify that those were pass-through monies that were general fund monies that in this type of a $5 million cut that we felt that should at least be put out that we didn't feel it was necessary to continue to contribute. The thing with the Walrus, if I might add to that, with the Walrus Commission, the issue still is that even the federal government can provide very little regulation over the taking of walrus until, according to the Marine Mammal Protection Act, until the species is declared depleted. And the walrus isn't even near being in a position of being declared depleted. The species is still in fairly good shape.
Representative Cookman.
Thank you, Chairman. The subcommittee, are there, in several of the departments, we've eliminated administrative positions in favor of keeping field positions that had been found any reorganizations or restructuring that would help this sort of thing here?
Mr. Chairman, particularly the subsistence division, I would say, has tried very hard to do that in the sense of letting off central office administrative types as opposed to leaving field personnel because of how they feel about having to do the necessary information gathering. I would say that the rest of the department has pretty much taken administrative cuts last year and in previous years. I guess I'd ask the Deputy Commissioner to make additional comments. We did last year discuss and almost did again a reduction in the Commissioner's office. The problem with that for this department is the amount of international treaty work and involvement with the federal government. One Deputy Commissioner spends a great deal of his time on the salmon treaty negotiations with Washington, Oregon, and Canada. It makes a big difference whether or not we have a presence there in terms of the Chinook allocation throughout Southeast Alaska. So it's kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face if you reduce their ability to interact on those treaty and with the federal government. So perhaps the Deputy Commissioner would like to add something to that.
Mr. Chairman, I think if you recall in the Commissioner's presentation, one of the areas that we have identified was the potential combination of some of the fisheries divisions, Comfish and Fred initially, and with the possibility by 95 of the sport fish division being considered. the whole intent there was to combine, if the legislature passes a RIP program, to be able to identify some of the positions that in essence would be going out that we could save by dropping some of the mid-level management in favor of more of our, you know, lower operations. And the department has been trying to move that direction for the last year. The difficulty, of course, is as budgets go up and down, you tend to compress the department, and that's what's happened with our department over time. But the intent is to move that direction. We have a hiring freeze, for instance, on right now, and we're going to try to force the divisions to look at further reductions in the mid-level management positions.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Representative Larson.
Yes, just a real general question, and it's something that I'm not that well-versed on and so forth, but I've noticed just under the Fred division that there were three hatcheries that were closed. One was ranked number 3 for a savings of $65,000. One was ranked number 21 for a savings of $470,000. And one was ranked number 22 for a savings of $350,000. So money apparently wasn't the criteria that you used in ranking them. Could you tell me what was?
Mr. Chairman, I have to call to some extent on Jeff Keening, the director of that division, to give you more in depth. What's partly not seen here when we look at, for instance, like the Big Lake hatchery, when we lost in Adamus fish money, about 300 and some thousand, I think that's fairly close, of that money, what we had was 65,000 of general fund monies left in that. The hatchery was, for all practical purposes, being shut down. So completing that process meant, in essence, that we would just go ahead and take out the rest of that the general fund money that was there. With the Kluwak hatchery, I think, as the commissioner mentioned in the meeting with the full committee, we were looking at additional long-range costs associated with that particular hatchery, like the building of a new pipeline, water pipeline to the hatchery, that we weren't sure the funds were going to be there. And as best we could, look at the cost benefits, if you will, of production of those various hatcheries, whether we have U.S.-Canada obligations, the commitment and the benefit to the various fisheries, and as much as we could, we took those into consideration. But costs were not the whole factor, you're correct. When you see one that has only $70,000 there, in many cases that was just the funds that were saved. And I'd have to ask Jeff to give you a more detail if you wanted more than that.
I'd appreciate it.
Yep.
Again, my name is Jeff Keening. I'm director of the Fred Division. The question related to the funding levels for the various facilities. Big Lake Hatchery, we had originally intended in our FY 93 budget to mothball that particular facility. And given the scenario of more budget cuts, we felt that what we'd end up doing, essentially, is closing it. So basically, that's where the $65,000 comes in.
Could you tell me what the funding level was last year and how much of it was general fund?
Basically, the funding level is about $380,000, something around that level.
And how much of that was general fund?
That was mostly general fund. That went to
Deer Mountain. Could you do the same for the rest, please?
Okay. The next facility I think you were talking about was Russell Creek. Russell Creek is located out near Cold Bay. That is a facility that is in its second life, if you will. We went through a production cycle trying to build up the production of fish out of that facility. We ran into some problems with the physical plant. We had to go back and have the builder basically reconstruct the facility. We're in the process now trying to build back up the production of that particular facility. It's not back up to a productive basis yet, so we feel that in comparison to other facilities, it simply is lower down on a priority list. It has a good program going for it, but in fact, it's not up at the production levels right now. It would take several years to get up to those particular levels. Kluwak Hatchery, as Ron had indicated, we do have water supply problems at that particular facility. We had line items in our CIP request, this year's CIP request, to try to resolve those particular water supply problems. Our CIP request was reduced from $1.1 million back to $800,000. So those improvements fell out. And therefore, we felt, again, this had a lower priority in terms of operating than some of our other facilities. So these are not decisions taken lightly. We tried to weigh the individual programs in the individual areas and try to come up with a real balanced way of prioritizing the facilities. So what you see there are the entire general fund operating costs for Russell Creek and Kluwak, which are much different than the operating funds for Big Lake, simply because the Big Lake funds were mothball funds and not operating funds in terms of a total operating budget.
Okay, but under the Fred division, then there are general funds that are used to provide those facilities. So.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, for the Big Lake Hatchery, you got a pretty good memory. It was 362.4.
Thank you for that correction.
Representative Ullman.
Mr. Chairman, I might just note on the two facilities, both Russell Creek and the Kluwak Hatchery, we are pursuing other funding sources. We're trying to, either through the creation of a regional aquaculture association near Cold Bay or through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, trying to find creative ways to keep those open so that they don't have to close, but those negotiations are going on right now, and it's really unclear at this point whether or not they'll be successful.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, one comment. Jeff corrected that. The Big Lake did not have inadequate administration money. That was the Deer Mountain, exclusively the Deer Mountain Hatchery, so I'll make sure that I was mistaken.
What effect is that going to have on I guess the streams in that in the Mat Valley with the closing of the hatchery there at Big Lake?
Well, there will be definitely impacts on all these facilities. There will be impacts in terms of fish production because obviously these facilities will not be producing fish. The Big Lake facility was predominantly a sockeye facility, delivering sockeye to the net fisheries of Cook Inlet. They did have a sport fish program there dealing with coho. And the coho program obviously will not go forward as well. The primary sport fish enhancement sites are the Fort Richardson and Elmendorf facilities located in Anchorage, and we feel that they can perhaps take up some of the slack given the closure of Big Lake facility, although they won't take over all of it. So there will be some lost fish production, both in terms of the sport fishery, some of the landlocked lakes, and in terms of the marine fisheries.
Okay. Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Point of information, where is the Crooked Creek Hatchery located?
Crooked Creek Hatchery is located in Cook Inlet, just south of Soldotna Kenai, about 15 miles in Kosilof, Alaska.
So it's primarily dedicated to what kind of fish dock?
Well, its primary mission, there are a couple of missions there, similar to Big Lake. Its primary mission is, as we look at it, is delivering Chinook salmon to the Kosilof River. When we built that early run Chinook fishery there, it's a primary site for taking off pressure from the Kenai River in terms of its Chinook fishery there. There was a park established on the Kosilof River to take advantage of those fish. It's a very heavily fished recreational site. It also does a lot of work with steelhead on the inlet, further down some of the systems in Cook Inlet, so it has a very popular steelhead component. And on top of that, it also does red salmon production for the Kosilof River, Costamina Lake, as well as for some other lakes in lower on in the Cook Inlet system. One of those being Leisure Lake near Homer, which also has a very active sport fish personal use component to it as well. So it has a mixed mission of producing sport fish as well as commercially fished stocks.
I guess my next question is the $367,700, is that a prorated cost of the hatchery or is that the total cost of the hatchery?
Well, we have, this is the general fund cost. We have another component in the budget Cook County Aquaculture Corporation, under program seed authority, pays about $50,000 to $60,000 to our program to do the egg takes involved with the red salmon program.
Okay, you don't think there'd be any jeopardy of from the feds on this much of a transfer to sports fishery or to federal DJ funds?
At this particular time, I don't think so. But as the program, we're looking at that, definitely looking at that. And if the program develops differently, we can certainly take steps to correct any differences. Okay. We can fine-tune it, if you will.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to keep item number 4 open, please.
Item number which?
4. The transfer of Dinkle Johnson funds to that hatchery.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Larson?
I'm going to think out loud here for just one moment, but I understand that you are looking for some alternative sources of funding for those hatcheries. I guess what I would like to just ask you to do is, as you're searching for alternate sources of funding, that you don't just forget about the Big Lake hatchery and that you keep that in your consideration too. And I don't know whether I need to make a motion then to keep all the hatcheries open or whether we just do that without a motion.
Okay.
Well, if they're looking for alternate sources of funding for 2 of the 3 hatcheries, I just want them to keep all 3 hatcheries in mind. And if that can be accomplished,
we haven't moved to H3 yet, though. Mr. Chairman.
All right, let's leave Fish and Game, the entire one, open. We'll come back to it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
we're going to take a 5-minute break.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question.
All right, we'll have it back.
5 minutes. 5-minute break.
Well, here I am.
Except for those 3.
Yeah. Finance Committee meeting will come back to order. We are still under Fish and Game.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Boyer,
we did adopt 1, 2, 3, and 4, is that correct?
Well, the motion is to adopt the entire page. Representative McLean would like to have her objections noted to number 5. Representative Larson wanted to note an objection to number 3.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm removing my objections to number 4.
And remove the objection for number 4.
3 and number 5.
Representative Larson?
So are those open? Or
open. 3 and 5 are open.
They're not open. They're closed.
They're closed.
They just objected. Objections noted, but
okay.
Okay.
Not enough.
I'm sorry. On corrections.
We're on Fish and Game still.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Note objections on 3, right?
Note objections on 3 and 4, but we're not holding them open.
3 and 5 are not open.
Right, 3 and 5, right. 4 is to remove the objection on 4. So we're closing the first page of Fish and Game. Okay. Objections of Representative McLean noted on number 5 and Representative Larson on number 3.
Wires on 4?
She removed it.
Okay,
so we're clearing the decks on this one.
Okay. Page 2.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move 11, 12, and 13 and stop before 14.
Are there objections? 11, 12, and 13 are accepted. Okay. With that, I'd like to move on from Fish and Game. I want to go back to Department of Corrections, which is under tab B.
Are we going back to Fish and Game?
Yeah,
we'll be back to Fish and Game. But
B?
On the Department of Corrections, on option number 2, motion is to accept option number 2. Representative Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would note objections to the MATSU and then the various institutions, the closing of the South Central facilities.
Okay. Those objections are noted. Option number 2, are there further objections? Representative Boyer.
Not an objection, Mr. Chairman, but just to make sure that people understand that the deleting mental health unit, Mike Mod, is the transfer of that mod to API. That is the proposal. And that it would the funding, if that occurs, the mental health trust funding is only $700,000 that moves over with that.
Is there further objections? Okay, we'll move on to Department of Health and Social Services. That is adopted. Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The mental health budget is broken down in priorities 1, 5, and 10. 1 is the least difficult to cut, and I would move for the adoption of all of the priority 1 reductions, and I think that's probably pages 1 through 3, 4, and 5 inclusive.
What tab are you on?
Excuse me?
What tab are you on?
H.
There's a motion.
Non-formula, correct.
All right. Representative McClain.
Yes, I do have a question on the Manila, Norton Sound BRUs, the ones that are categorized as number 1, and Representative Boyer has stated that they are eligible for Medicaid refinancing, and I would like to get a clarification from Hess about that and whether these items can be refinanced.
Janet Clark and Jay Livey are here with the department. Perhaps one or both of them could come forward. But just for the members, while Jay's coming forward, we did look at all of these, and just there were two areas in the designated BRUs that we one took off the table, and that had to do with the mental health or those programs. Those are characterized as number 10s in the in this budget, and these here we felt, and the department can speak to that in a moment, we felt were possible for Medicaid, capture of Medicaid dollars, and that's why we characterize them as a 1. Jay might speak to that.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I'm Jay Libby from Health and Social Services. Representative Boyer is correct. These are in, we've assumed refinancing on the BRUs to the same extent that we have assumed within the department. So the governor's original budget contained several refinancing ideas. The BRUs at that time did not. So many of the reductions you see here for the BRUs for refinancing parallel what we were planning to do for the department. And we think that these are very doable.
You think. Now, is there an understanding that they will be refinanced?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we have talked to the BRUs, not in all these cases, in most of these cases, and we have talked with Medicaid, Public Health, and we believe that these can be done.
Well, I'd like to get an assurance that it can be done, and if with that in mind, I'd like to hold them open for further discussion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure we have an assurance from the department. They think it's doable. Are we holding it open just to... I don't know that you can get any more information. We held 12 hours of hearings just on this budget last week, 12 hours of meetings. We went until 10:45 on Friday night. I think there's probably not an unanswered question here, but so I guess I'd ask for what specific purpose we keep these number ones open.
Because I'd like to get further information that it can be refinanced, and I don't have that assurance from the health department.
Mr. Lowry, do you believe these can be, is it your intent to refinance these with Medicaid funding?
Yes, it is, and we believe that it can be done with the minimum of disruption to the clients or the providers.
Can we have somebody from the Medicaid to come up?
I don't believe anybody is here from the Medicaid program, Mr. Chairman.
And then I would really, really further state that I'd like to keep these open until we get further information. I don't have that assurance.
Mr. Chairman, could you clarify which items are being picked up?
Perhaps if I broke it down into a page at a time, then maybe it's easier.
Let's do it a page at a time.
I would move for the adoption of page 1 reduction.
I would object.
Page 1.
Yeah, that's the first item.
Okay.
Are there objections? Without objection, page 1.
Page 2, I would move items 1, 2, and 3. That gets you down to Manila.
Okay, I just want to ask a question on number 3, and that is, on Family and Youth Services, it says central offices. I've visited one of the outlying offices, and I would most certainly like to see it come out of the central office and not the outlying offices. I think that they're already grossly underfunded. Are there further objections?
Madam, so 1, 2, and 3?
1, 2, and 3 are accepted.
Okay, and then move to page 3 and would begin with the fourth item, maternal child and family health, and would move for everything from, that's the fourth item down, that we would take all of those items.
Are there objections? Without objection, those items are accepted.
Then on page 4, I would move for the adoption of the entire page.
Are there objections? Without objection.
And on page number 5, the entire page.
Page number 5. Is there objection? Okay, we'll move next to the Department of Labor. Senator Copeland.
Thank you. The department has a very small federal fund portion. It's largely federal funded. It was cut last year by over $900,000, almost $1 million, leaving $8.8 million. The committee met and agreed in some cases. Reduction is 8.9 in general funds employment services, the Anchorage contract. We'll delete that one. People with disabilities want to move the funding from labor to the governor's office. Going down management services, reduce internal services. $15,000 wage an hour. we would like to reduce $73,000 and delete the position of deputy director. Mechanical inspection, we would like to streamline the management, delete the assistant chief, $76,000, and to increase fees for boiler inspections, electrical and plumber certificate of fitness and elevator inspections, and I do have the particular fee schedules. We may have to increase them some more in the future, but that would, the fees that are suggested will increase it for this year for $104,700. Occupational safety and health, we would like to streamline the management, delete the deputy director and two assistant chiefs for $170,000. We do not agree to, and then in we wish to increase the fees for hazardous painting certification, explosive handling certification, and asbestos abatement for $97,300. And in the Division of Workmen's Comp, we'd like to streamline the management for $96,500, merge the Workers' Compensation Office with the Office of the Commissioner, and delete the division director's position. That is the recommendation of the committee. There are other reductions recommended, which in view of the fee rates and others are not necessary, would get rid of field positions. So for now, we'd like to recommend that we adopt page 1.
Question.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering why you want to move the employment and disabilities, Governor's Committee on Employment of People with Disabilities, from labor to the governor's office.
Well, it's the funding in RSA over, since it is the governor's office, and there are two other commissions, and the governor's office has been talking about combining commissions and boards. So we took that recommendation.
Is the governor's committee in favor of this?
I don't think so. I mean, most of the boards and commissions are not in favor of being pulled together. In this case, we would like to see the commission maintained. but we would like the funding to come out of the governor's office, correct? Rather than the Labor Department budget.
I've just been having some interaction with this group because of the legislation I'm sponsoring on the Americans with Disabilities Act. I think the Department of Labor has done a very good job with them, and I'm just concerned about what the, you know, what's planned there. It's just learned. I mean, is that?
Hold that in a bit.
I'd like to hold that out.
I'm not sure about it either.
Well, it's not saving any money, yeah. Right?
$39,000.
No, that's not a reduction. Yes.
No, that's just transferring the funding as well as reducing the governor by that much.
I think we had eliminated altogether. But
I'd like to hold that open.
Okay, we'll hold that open. Okay. There are further objections to the first page?
First page, we're fine.
Page one of labor, other than the governor's committee on unemployment, that actually isn't a reduction, it's just shifting it over to the governor's office. So,
the blank line.
Okay.
There are objections to the reductions on page one, or the revenue enhancement suggestions on page one. They're accepted.
We're not making recommendations on page two. There is House Bill 33, which is in front of Senate Judiciary. That would increase the fines for worker safety violations to the federally mandated level. That's expected to raise $224,000, which would be further income. If the bill does not pass, we would be losing another $1 million in federal funding and would have to revisit the whole occupational safety and health program of the budget anyway.
Okay, we'll hold those and then move to the Department of Law.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our targeted goal in the Department of Law is to look for $2 million in reductions. And if I may, before I make a motion to move anything, I would like to call everyone's attention to a possible funding source for consideration. In the oil suit litigation, in the case commonly known Amaretta, or the state versus Amaretta Hess, since 1990, we've been using as a funding source 25% of the total amount from the earnings reserve. If we would have used that process prior to 1990, it would have shifted approximately $5.6 million out of the general fund to the earnings reserve, with the rationale being that the permanent fund shares in 25% of whatever the windfalls are. Therefore, the permanent fund earnings reserve should provide 25% of the litigation costs in obtaining those windfalls. What we are suggesting as an alternative to the full reduction from the general fund is that we use one-third of that $5.6 million, or approximately $1.8 million, to help mitigate the total reductions as proposed. And now let me look at those total reductions with you. We have the recommendation from the department as number one, the fair business practices to eliminate the division. That would provide a $678,100 reduction. Number two, and we'd make both of these next reductions number two priority option, because I think whatever reduction we give to prosecution, we should also give a same level of reduction or in the neighborhood to legal services. So we're recommending a reduction of $700,000 in prosecution and $755,000 in legal services. And for an explanation of what the impact would be, I would call everyone's attention to the letter that we have included, dated March the 18th, 1992, from Charlie Cole, the Attorney General. And with that brief introduction, Mr. Chairman, I don't really know whether we should dwell into a possible revenue source to mitigate the reductions or whether we should remove the reductions and consider the revenue source later.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. I had a question to Representative Larson. Do you recall the legislation we passed that said because we were trying to remove the potential conflict of people getting a permanent fund dividend that we were going to treat those revenues differently within the permanent fund? Are
yes,
these the same revenues related to, they are, aren't they, the Amerada Hess case revenues? Within the permanent fund, how are those, where are those revenues within the permanent fund?
Maybe we'd have someone from the Department of Law here that might be able to answer that. Mr. McGee, did you hear the question?
I heard the question, but it's not a question I can answer.
Okay. It was my understanding that, and it's, as I recall the case, that any increases in the permanent fund due to the windfalls would not necessarily be substantial enough so that the cases involved would have to be moved outside the state to be tried. Is that the case you're referring
to? That's the one. I believe the court did recently rule there was not a conflict and it could be tried in state. I'm just curious about how those revenues are being handled within the permanent fund since it seems like it's setting up a new stream.
No, do we have anyone in the audience who can answer that question?
Okay, let's hold law open.
Mr. Chairman, I had one other question while we're there.
Senator Brown.
To continue the consumer protection program, that is a portion of what's within fair business practices, correct?
Right.
So we could continue that and make some reduction there without eliminating the whole division. He's just proposed that, has he not, to get to the targeted number?
And the fair business practices last year, as I recall, was approximately $171,000, the level of funding.
For consumer protection.
Consumer protection.
Was
$171,000.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, we were looking at a targeted reduction of $600,000. At this time, I would like to bring page one to the committee. With the exception of item number 10. And I would move that we adopt items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, and 12 for a total budget reduction of $600,000.
Is there objections? Without objections, those items are adopted. Formal options we can deal with later.
Okay.
Move on to the Department of Natural Resources. Representative Boyer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would move all items, item number ones on that page that would go down through the Mental Health Lands Administration, noting for the members of the committee that if we take number one, I would also recommend that we repeal the statute creating the Citizens Advisory Commission. That we also need Title 38 changes that we have language for to adopt the Division of Land changes in land planning and aquatic farming and also the stewardship or land planning and aquatic farming there. That we also need program receipts authority in the coal program that we adopt. We will have and we do have language, intent language on the fire statewide fire suppression. An item not unlike what Representative Larson has suggested in the Department of Law, the statewide mineral survey money. We're proposing that half of that be funded from corporate receipts through the permanent fund, in as much as the permanent fund is a recipient beneficiary of mineral surveys, minerals, leases, rents, and royalties. And then we've just backed out the Mental Health Lands Administration costs associated with Chapter 6 66 implementation.
Commissioner Brown.
I object to funding the statewide mineral survey out of the permanent fund, and we can either hold that open and discuss it now. One thing I'm interested in knowing is how much mineral revenue has ever accrued to the permanent fund, as I don't think we get royalties on minerals. Generally, these are claims, they're staked. We give these minerals away for absolutely for free. I don't see the same connection between this as I see in other areas for oil and gas, and I don't think this is appropriate.
Sharon Barton is here, and she may know the answer to that. This did come up late in our closeout meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Sharon Barton, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. We currently generate about $500,000 a year in mineral rents and royalties.
And how much has gone to the permanent fund?
It's a 50-50 split.
Which is why we were proposing a 50-50 split here. Not 100% taken.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm not a big fan of this particular activity. I mean, I think it's an okay activity to do. It's just that in the mode we're in of reducing, making major reductions across the departments, I just question the continued value of this in relation to other things that are coming out of the budget. So I would like to hold this open.
Okay. With the exception of...
Mr. Chairman, could I get a question on forestry resource management, the first one under forestry, that $300,000 reduction. Is that, Mark, are you the chairman of this?
Yes.
Is that, would that have any effect on timber sales or anything like that?
Mr. Chairman, potentially it could have. There are four primary functions, as I understand it, in resource management here, but Sharon, could you speak to that?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Representative Sharp, resource management is composed of timber sales, personal use sales, forest practices enforcement, and fire pre-suppression. And with some amount from pre-suppression if necessary.
Just follow, do you mean it would affect sales, their ability to put out blocks for bid?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that would be a staff cut to those projects. And again, although we don't have the details worked out, it would be something like a 25 to 50% reduction in those sales.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to see the details on maybe later on how that would be affected for future timber sales, particularly in the small mills in the interior and down the highway system where they have access to just small timber sales, but it's the only thing they've got to keep the mills open. So that's my only concern.
Representative McLean.
Yes, Ms. Barton, I had a question on the fire suppression. What type of impact with $1 million cut, what type of impact do we expect?
Representative McLean, our approach would be to both rework current agreements with the federal government in order to move more land into the let burn category. As you, I think, are aware, we classify lands as far as the coverage they would get full protection, limited or let burn. Be our intention to move more lands out of the limited protection into the let burn where there was no community or life-threatening potential, nor any great value to the resources at stake. The other half of the, or other part of the approach would be to work on just our cost, how we approach firefighting to be as cost effective in every decision we make about using time and materials in order to reduce some costs on that front as well.
There was a concern that was expressed by one of the representatives and on the lead burn policy that the department has, and apparently it impacted some villages last summer when there was a lead burn policy occurring, and doesn't that impact the health and life and safety of the people when you have a lead burn policy?
Representative McLean, that can depend very greatly on winds and amount of smoke, of course, being blown into the villages. While it would be the department's intention to take that into consideration on any given fire, winds can change, things can drastically change on fire. I can't tell you that there wouldn't be more smoke in the villages in the interior under the lead burn policy. It would certainly be one aspect that would be considered at all times, however.
And if there's a lot of smoke, what kind of backup on preventative measures do you have in place, or do you have any?
I can't answer that question. I'm sorry. I'd be happy to check into it. Last summer, I understand one of the villages was actually evacuated. That may be the best approach when the unexpected occurs.
Okay, I would like that information. Thank you.
Okay, so...
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I have Representative Phillips and Barnes.
Excuse me.
Representative Phillips. I wanted to get an explanation on the mining, the coal program, general fund program receipts, increased user fees. I don't know what that is, frankly.
Mr. Chairman, currently the division does not have the authority to receive receipts where a coal producer comes in the door and suggests a major either expansion of a project or a new project. And the idea here is if someone comes in and has makes an application for production, that the cost of producing or going through that whole permitting process is shared by the person coming through the door. So it's a cost of their doing business, and that's what we're doing here, is just would authorize the receipt of those funds for that purpose.
But right now the state pays for that out of the general?
Yes, it's we staff up the Division of Mining, they process it, and we're just suggesting that cost should be a cost of doing business.
I want to announce that any of the agencies that we've already gone through, we're not going to get back to you today. This is the last budget that we're going to take up today. We're going to break at 4:30. We have majority caucus at 5, so give members time to get something to eat. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman.
Can I make one other announcement that, so I don't forget it before we leave? That is that Carol Collins and Allison are coordinating the statutory changes that we need to go in the budget. I'll ask members if they have statutory changes to please coordinate with them rather than legal services so that logistically it all comes together at the Finance Committee. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under forced management, I believe that this is something we should look for another way to find rather than this reduction. My reasons are several. First of all, at least a portion of our fish and game population, the moose, need to have good forced practices so that they can, of course, letting it burn, they like that too because it gives them more food. But I do believe that this is one area that we should hold open and look for other ways to fund, and I'll be glad to take that on as a job over the next.
Representative Boyer.
I'd prefer not, but I'll tell you, the forest management, that total budget is how much now, Sharon? This is about, it's less than a 10% reduction, is that correct?
It's about $1.5 million in the forest management part of that budget, I think. I didn't read that book up.
But the idea here, the commissioner was fairly emphatic that the forest management section needs to have some stimulus to reorganize, and that absent a major or significant enough reduction here in force management that the reorganization, literally, of the structure for dealing with fire management, fire suppression and pre-suppression will not occur. And so I would hope that we keep this reduction. I think it's very real. I think it sends the right signal. I think you do achieve the reorganization that the commissioner feels is absolutely necessary here.
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall him telling the committee that when he was before us. I think he mostly just talked about fire prevention programs and whether or not we should let them burn or not.
The subcommittee spent a long time on this specific issue last week during our closeout where we had the commissioner online with us. So he was very emphatic.
I'll withdraw my objections at this time.
Okay, with the objection to geological management, are there other things in Category 1? Representative Sharp.
Resource management.
You want to hold it open?
On the to find out what the effect would be on timber sales.
Okay. With those two, are there any further that people would like held out? Representative Boyer.
Not held out, but just so we can expedite our process here, Mr. Chairman, I would also move that we adopt the reduction under parks, the note being day use fees, so that we can go ahead and have, we've got the language drafted that's required, the changes to allow for day use fees in those parks. But just to get that moving, I would move that we adopt that. That's a Category 5, but it's more a 5 just so people acknowledge that it does need the statutory change.
Are there objections to the motion as stated? Without objection, that is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I would just ask that, that because there has been concern about unallocated reductions, we had indicated to the commissioner last week that we needed to see how the department would spread that unallocated reduction of 524. And so, Sharon, if we could just be prepared for that. I know the commissioner was working and that you're working through with. I think the committee would like to see where that spread would occur.
Right. Okay. That's all for today, folks.
Wait a minute. I've been waiting here, basically. I have a question for Fish and Game.
Oh, Mr. Chairman. Well,
I told the Fish and Game.
Before she leaves, I have a...
Oh, they're still here. Representative Barnes.
On the next page, under parks, and they have Challenge Alaska. I don't know what people know about that program, but it's a program where they take handicapped people to parks, et cetera, et cetera. Take them skiing and things like that. So, could we just hold that open?
We did.
Second page.
Got a 10. That's
a 10.
I think we're going to take that one. Fish and Game, Representative Phillips.
Real quick, this has to do with Fish and Game magazine. And has anybody, has anybody in the subcommittee or the department recommended contract this out like we do the journal, Public Affairs Journal of the University of Alaska puts out, that's a private contract rather than have a couple state employees work on it.
Mr. Chairman, Ron Somerville, Fish and Game. Representative Phillips, we've talked about that, and I think the direction given by the legislature, I wasn't here at the time, a couple of years ago, is that they should try to generate enough program receipts to pay for the magazine. Was the direction that was taken. I know there has been a lot of discussion with you and other members of the legislature about whether or not that should be contracted out. The commissioner has indicated that he'd prefer not to do that because of the quality of the product. He feels that we're going to maintain a better quality product with the way we're going, but we are generating enough program receipts to pretty well carry the bulk of that program. So
how much money are you spending on this versus program receipts coming in?
I don't have the details, but I have to get that for you.
Okay. We'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.